But right now, it's time for butterflies. The Forest History Center in Grand Rapids is hosting On the Hunt for Northwoods Butterflies with retired science teacher Allison Barta. That's this Saturday, January 7th from 1 to 3 p.m. Allison Barta joins us now. Good morning. Thanks for being here, Allison.
Thank you. Morning, John. Morning, Heidi. I'm really excited to be on your show this morning.
Yeah, nice to hear you again, Allison. Yeah, wonderful. Welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I'm curious, you know, a science teacher, well, you're working with all those kids and they get interested in stuff. How did you get interested in butterflies?
Well, actually, this has kind of been a lifelong endeavor for me. When I was a child, back in the 60s, I was chasing butterflies up and down our alley and got to know their characters and a lot of the species. And in fact, I was even catching butterflies for biology students at the local high school.
You mean as a child, you were doing their collections?
Yeah, like they were actually paying me.
I was hoping you were getting paid for that.
It was a good moneymaker for a little kid.
Yeah. I believe it might have been. Yeah.
So were those butterflies in northern Minnesota? Were you?
No. I grew up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and okay. So that's where I was doing that. And I spent a lot of years, I grew up in a family of 8 children, and nature was my thing. And I spent a lot of time outside catching butterflies and bees, too. I used to catch bees, too. And actually, I had quite a collection. I was putting them to sleep and displaying them in boxes. But then as I grew up and I had my own children, I started realizing that butterflies were disappearing. And so I taught my kids a little bit about displaying them, and then I switched over to let's take pictures of them instead.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? I mean, in your and my youth, and I came from a large family as well, and nature was my outlet, we captured them, we euthanized them, and we pinned them. And taking a picture was, you know, you took a picture, and if you were really lucky, you know, it was in color, but most of them were black and white, and they came, you got them like 3 weeks after you took the picture, you got the picture back. And so you really didn't know what you had until then. But now with digital, I do an awful lot of my gathering of butterflies digitally, which is really quite nice because you can look instantly and see, well, I got that one or I didn't get that one. And oftentimes when I'm trying to take a picture of a butterfly, I'll start, you know, 15 feet away and just take a picture. And then I'll take a step and take a picture and take a step and take a picture. And I keep doing that until the butterfly flies. And that, you know, oftentimes you can get quite close and get some detail, and then you can go back and figure out who you were looking at. And speaking of that, who are you looking at? How many butterflies are you cataloging over in your country?
Well, so this is what happened to me. I decided to become a science teacher after moving to Bemidji, and I went out on a hike one day and took a picture of a Canadian swallowtail and realized that my camera could take beautiful pictures. So I got one of the best books I could find around. It's a field book by Larry Weber called Butterflies of the Northwoods. And he has there's little maps in there that show you where species live. And I went through the whole book and found out, okay, this is how many species, 90-some species live in the Bemidji area. And I thought, okay, I'm going to prove that these butterflies really live here. And so I started going out and looking for them and checking them off my list one at a time. And so now what's happened is I have spent 12 years looking for all these butterflies that Larry has in his book, and I've got it down to I only need 3 more butterflies.
Wow.
And so it's been pretty exciting, but it's taken me 12 years, and I could tell you right now, over 41,000 photos. And so this presentation that I'm going to be giving in Grand Rapids on Saturday, it's called On the Hunt for the Northwoods Butterflies. And I started a PowerPoint the first year after I took a picture of the first butterfly. And I started putting the best photos in there of every species that I was finding. And you won't believe this, but my PowerPoint is at 415 pictures. Because in 12 years, you see a lot of really cool stuff. And I put the most fabulous photos in there. And I can do my show, and it'll be about an hour, maybe an hour, 15 minutes. But I think everybody who comes will really, really enjoy seeing all those photos.
We're speaking with Allison Barta, and she is going to be at the Forest History Center in Grand Rapids on Saturday, January 7th, from 1 until 3. Allison, 415 photos, you must not give people much time to, like, study the photo. It's like, look quick.
Well, I really enjoy presenting it, and I think people for the most part enjoy my presentations because I'm a pretty good storyteller. If you ask some people, they'd say, yeah, Allison's a good storyteller. Some of them I just go through as I'm talking about one species. I might have six of the most fabulous photos of it, and I'll just go through those photos as I'm talking about that species. But what I also wanted to tell you is that I'm not just adding photos to this PowerPoint. Along the way, I've had the opportunity to give this presentation to the state parks during the summer, to garden clubs. I've been the guest speaker at the BSU Monarch Festival, and now I give them an annual summary. But most important to me is that every year at the end of the butterfly season, I collect data like almost every day. And I put that all together, and I submit it to the National Lepidopterist Society for their season summary. And so I just finished doing that, and it's quite an endeavor. You have to put in the first time you saw that species, the last time, what were they feeding on, and then you also write a review, or I should say a summary, of all the weather and what was going on during the whole summer that might have contributed to how the butterflies came and went.
Amazing. You must be familiar with John Weber and Dallas Hudson, who are in your neighborhood, not exactly right next to you. One lives in Nevis, and the other lives in Akeley. So, but they are both butterfly hunters of the first degree, as I know you are as well. Have you discovered any butterflies that Larry didn't mention in your area that added to the list?
Okay, I have had some fabulous things happen to me along the way. Like a couple of years ago, I was in my yard and I saw this orange butterfly go across the yard, and I was thinking, what is that? It doesn't look familiar. And there was a storm coming, and I took a picture of it, and it started raining, and I came in the house and I emailed to Larry and to some other scientists. By the way, I do know John and Dallas. Anyways, I emailed to two people that are nation known scientists, and I got this email back going, Allison, you have a Gulf fritillary in your yard. And I emailed the two scientists back, and I said, the only Gulf I know is the Gulf of Mexico. I said, do you realize I live between Cass Lake and Walker, Minnesota? And I got emails back right away saying, yeah, we're telling you, you have a Gulf fritillary in your yard. And I couldn't believe it. And yeah, that was pretty fabulous. And it actually stayed here overnight. And I took more photos of it in the morning, and then it flew north. And I reported it. And as far as I know, it's a most northern record. So that butterfly came from the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what a thrill.
It probably got caught up in a wind, with air coming from the Gulf. But I have to tell you, this last summer, I had three things happen that were really cool. One, I woke up in the morning after a storm the night before, and I was walking across the lawn, and I saw a flash of blue. And I'm like, what is that? That must be a silvery blue, or maybe it's a summer azure. And I'm looking down at it, and it was a Melissa blue in my yard.
Wow.
North of Walker. I mean, that butterfly lives way south of the cities, or way over by Duluth, maybe, possibly. And I've been wanting to go photograph it, but I'm thinking if I drive 6 hours, maybe I won't even find it. And there was one in my lawn. So I got a picture of it. I also, this past summer, an eastern tiger swallowtail arrived in my yard in August, And they also live really far south of the, you know, they're way down by the city.
Right.
I couldn't believe that happened. And then I found a Titan Sphinx moth, which flew so fast, I couldn't even figure out what it was. And I started taking pictures ahead of it to try to capture, like, what is this? And found out that that species also lives far south of our area. So I have had some really awesome things happen to me along the way.
Wonderful.
So Allison, your yard, as you're describing all these visitors you've had, you must have the things that butterflies want.
Oh, yeah. I belong to NABBA, the North America Butterfly Association, and my garden is a certified butterfly garden. So I have food in my garden for caterpillars and for butterflies. And I have milkweed and blazing star and goldenrod. And I make sure that every year I plant a lot of zinnias because the monarchs need zinnias. As they go through in the fall, a lot of the other plants, the milkweed and the blazing star, you know, they get spent. And then what food is there for the monarchs? So I have zinnias until they freeze over. And because of that, I have I get to see butterflies late into the season. But also besides my yard, I live on a place called Oak Point, which is like a peninsula going into Leech Lake. And every day that it's not raining or, you know, really cold, I'm out checking my observation sites. And I have like 5 sites in our area, you know, and we live way out in the forest, so it's pretty non-populated out here. And I have found 90 species of butterflies.
Wow, 90. That's really remarkable. You know, we've got a couple of minutes before we have to go, but why are butterflies important to all of us, not only to you? I mean, I understand on a personal level. I get that. But to the rest of us.
Wow, that's such a good, that's a fabulous question, especially, you know, since we're talking about all this. But if we don't have butterflies, we're in trouble. I mean, we need pollinators, you know, butterflies, bees, moths, hummingbirds, even bats pollinate our food. Every time you sit down to eat, you're probably eating something that has been grown because of the fact that we have butterflies. We wouldn't have fruit. We wouldn't have vegetables. Humans would be in trouble if we don't have the pollinators. So they are really important. And I hope, and when I give my presentation, I always hope that when people leave, they'll go home and say, yeah, I'm going to let milkweed grow in my yard, and I'm going to find some blazing star, and I'm going to plant some zinnias so those Canadian monarchs have some food on their way south. So pollinators are really, really important to the human, us humans.
Allison, thank you for joining us. I feel your passion. I encourage everybody to show up Saturday the 7th from 1 to 3 at the Forest History Center in Grand Rapids. Allison, keep telling stories. I think it's what you're set out to do.
Thank you, and I hope everybody comes because they're going to love my PowerPoint. So hope to see people on Saturday. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You bet.
You're welcome. The event is this Saturday, as John said. It's called On the Hunt for Northwoods Butterflies.